Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Log, the Italian Stallion.
You're so far from Italian.
I'm dark enough.
I guess that counts for something. You know, you can star in the Asian Rocky remake.
Yes.
But you're kind of getting that age now, man. You'd have to be like Mick or something. Be over there yelling it, you know.
Yeah. He's not a man, and you're a tank. Roll him over. Gotta get that gritty old man smirk, and your eye twitching. You know,
mm-hmm. Long doesn't look impressed. So hard to impress Long sometimes. You know that?
Yeah, it is.
It's like he just keeps his straight face, like he's gonna kill somebody. You're like, fuck, man. I don't know if he's happy or not happy. I'm done. But are you happy, Long?
I'm
not gonna kill Matt.
I'm quaint.
You're quaint.
Quaint.
Cool.
Almost sounds like taint.
No, you're a taint.
What? Is Frank back on the show? Oh my god. A taint joke, really? Well, this show started off salty. It is, man, I'm feeling kind of like, you know, it's Friday night, and this is my birthday week episode.
Happy birthday, early birthday.
Well, by the time people hear this, my birthday will pass, so it's okay to say happy birthday.
Happy 100th.
Fuck 100. It feels that way sometimes, but yeah, so Sunday the 8th is my birthday, and I don't know, I mean, I feel kind of in about it this year, you know, more so than the past couple of years, I guess. I don't know. I guess it's because this is a halfway mark to another decade, and it's just like, fuck, man. It's like, I'm old, you know? And I guess that's why. I don't really want to turn the age I'm turning, but it is what it is, I guess. By the time people hear this, I will have turned another year, and I will have spent a weekend at the beach, and probably be very tired on my birthday, but that's okay. I guess that's what you're supposed to do. But other than that, I've been on vacation from work this week, and it hasn't been all bad. I mean, I went and visited our friends at Misfit Toys, Daniel, and came home with a vintage Star Wars Darth Vader TIE Fighter that he cut me a price that was just too good to not take it. That's all. I mean, just hands down the best toy shop in Houston. I mean, Daniel takes care of his customers. He's truly in it to make people happy. Yes, it's a business. He wants to make money. But if you walk out of there smiling and he cuts you a deal and you got something you want, that's what he truly cares about. And and you know, you really, you know, can say it's hard to explain that to people. Like, there's people out there that think every business entrepreneur is in it for the money. And that's not always true. There are truly great guys out there still left. And Daniel's one of them, man. He really just, he wants to get something in your hand that makes you happy. You walk out of that store. And that's what he cares about the most. And he'll even tell you that, you know, and I did talk to him, and I think we're going to do something in October because he loves Halloween. And I think we'll get set up and do a Halloween episode out there. You know, cause he's a big horror guy. So I think that'll be a good goal to give us a little time to get back to doing a live show there every couple months. It'd be sweet. Because I know we teased it before Comp-Palooza and it just didn't really work out. But I think it'll work out in the fall just fine. So we'll get there and do one of our horror episodes there. So that'll be fun. And So it has been all a bad week. You know, got some things done around the house and fixing to do like I said, a little weekend trip to end it. And so it's good. And then back to the grind on Monday. That'll suck, but it is what it is. And until the next fate, I had a realization too. I'm taking a week off in October, and cause I get a lot of vacation time. And I've always had a kid with me. Now this year with the little girl going to go to pre-K, I'll have a vacation where the kids are at school while I'm at home. I'm like, holy shit, quiet time. You know, it's like, and I'm like, wow. I mean, I'll probably after like Tuesday, I'll be like, oh, it sucks. But the first couple of days, I think it'll be like, this will be kind of nice. I don't know what that's like. You know? So I'm kind of like, can October come? Because that'll be fun, you know, to have a quiet vacation. So, yeah.
An actual one.
Yeah.
You can kind of like just focus on you and do what you want
to
do.
Yeah. Know? I mean, I'll have to get up and take them to school and pick them up. So it might only be like 6 hours a day, you know, then by myself, but that's still, that's a lot more time than I normally get. And that's not a complaint at all because I 100% love my job of being a dad, but I don't get a whole lot of me time. So it'll be nice, you know?
And, yeah.
We'll see. I can,
that's not too much to ask for. 7 days of you time in an entire year.
Yeah, you know, I can sit around in my underwear all day if I want, you know.
Boom.
Yeah. So,
make beef jerky.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but sure. So birthdays are always a time of reflection as you look back on the year and last year, you know, with COVID, didn't do a whole lot, you know, and the year before that was the year, I think we all went to grab something to eat, you know, remember, and we went, Chewy's and did a couple things. So we're kind of getting back in the swing, you know, we went, I know I've got the family trip, but maybe we can get together for your birthday, Matt, and do something, the three of us, since we kind of did something back for Long's birthday in January. So, you know, it's all good.
Man, we'll check it out.
If your wife doesn't have you chained down for your birthday, you know.
I know, right? That's a possibility.
I'm just saying, we can even do it a week early if we have to. So, you know, because I think your birthday, I was looking at the calendar for the movies coming. Your birthday actually falls like on a Saturday this year, I believe. So,
it falls on a day where I'm completely off.
So she might chain you down, like I said. You know, Jackie, crack that whip, bitch. You know? Hey, come on. You boys listen to the episode for 260 fucking episodes, Matt. We all know you're whooped. It's okay.
Crack that whip, man.
That's right. I mean, we all know it, Matt. There's no reason to try to cover it up anymore. Yeah, if she walked up behind you right now in that room and said, Matthew, I need you to do this, she'd have to get up and do it. Middle of this fucking show. We all know it, you know? So. But generally, she doesn't. She leaves you alone. She's a sweetheart. Knows it's your hobby. But let's be real. If she came in there, you'd have to jump up and lick that ass. Wow. I don't know. I don't know why I'm picking on you. I miss you guys. You know?
Yeah. And that's how we make people feel more at home here, man. You make fun of them.
The audio is
a nice way. Yeah.
That's right. The audio is out from our live show at Comicpalooza. And I think that's what it is, man. I was listening to audio and getting it ready. And I was like, man, it was fun doing a show together in person. And I don't mind the Zencaster thing. But it'd be nice to do some live shows at Misfit Toys and get back together. And I think maybe that's what it is. I'm missing you fellas today. I'm being emotional. But yes, the live show is out on our podcast feeds now. If you want to hear our live show from Comicpalooza 2021, it's pretty fun. So check that out. And I normally don't do this a lot, but we kind of plug our website at the end. But I have, you know, it helps us if you guys go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, and check out the website and give us hits. At therebelradiopodcast.com. And I know we have a little blurb at the beginning of the show that tells you the website, but just a little extra there that we would appreciate. And I just was thinking that because we have not had a review left on iTunes in quite a while. And I know people are listening to the show because our numbers are good. So it'd be great if you're out there listening, just take 5 minutes to leave us that 5-star review on iTunes because it helps with the search engines and things like that. And it doesn't cost you anything. We're asking for money or anything like that. Just a quick review for us. So it helps us out.
Yeah.
It would be a nice birthday present to me. And Matt's birthday, which is in a month from now. So,
yes. Yeah.
But
two for one.
That's right. Let's get into today's show officially then. We've got some stuff to talk about. A really great featured film today and a great top five and some news and another big comic book movie hit HBO Max and theaters this weekend. So we've got some stuff to talk about. And we always start the show with Download This, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, played video game wise or something this week. And I guess since it is my birthday movie, I'll start out. And I watched a couple of things while off. I've been on a little bit of a Kevin Smith kick since we did Clerks 2, and I had not sat down and watched his silent but deadly special from the night he almost died. Because I always felt kind of weird. I always felt kind of weird watching it, right? Because, you know, he could have left us that night. And he even makes a heart attack joke during the show, which is even weirder, you know? But it's really funny. It's on Amazon Prime. If you you can watch it for free on there, and it actually really is hilarious. And you guys give me a hard time saying I don't like comedy unless it's Kevin Smith. And sometimes maybe that's true, but and Kevin's not even really so much a stand up. It's more of he tells stories and he relates them to life, and they're really funny. And so I watched that, and I enjoyed it. It was good. And then I watched. Well, the movie we probably all watched, we'll talk about in a minute. And I did watch a couple more episodes of Harley Quinn. That show's still kicking ass. I really like it. And then, damn it, there was something I watched and I don't remember.
Loki?
I meant to write it. Huh?
Loki?
I haven't watched any Loki. No, I haven't watched.
Man,
I've been
Loki?
Slacking on fucking Loki.
Not even one.
You know, not even one.
Wow.
You know. And I watched the Suicide Squad, which I think we all watched. We'll talk about in a minute. If it comes back to me, I'll remember. I know there was something else I watched this week when I was off because I've had time, so I know I watched a couple things. Oh, I watched Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, but I mean, yeah, that's an old movie. But there was something new I watched, you know. But anyway, what did you guys check out this week before we talk about the Suicide Squad?
It's still brief, but I finally beat the main story quest of the original base game of Final Fantasy 14, and then now I'm getting into the expansion story of Heavensward, and it is freaking epic. And basically the gist of the story is dragons, a race of dragons are attacking the city called Ishgard, and it's up to your hero to try to stop this war from happening and to keep both sides from killing each other. The dragons are a sentient race, also the Ishgard are elves, basically. But it's pretty cool where your character is trying to stop the war from happening. In a very bloody direction. Yeah, it's pretty good so far. And then, of course, Suicide Squad.
Nice.
Go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
Yeah, I wanted to watch a few sports movies since we're doing sports today. So I watched some of my guilty pleasure ones, Over the Top. And it's such a cheesy 80s film, but you know, I like the coming of age stuff between Stallone and his son in the movie, teaching him how to just how to live, how to have fun, how to be a man, and how to assert himself a little bit better than he already does. His son's already pretty assertive, but shows him how to drive a truck. It's cool. Varsity Blues. It's a classic teen film, and it's a pretty good depiction of what some of these Texas small towns probably go through with football. Summer Rental. I was in Galveston this week, so had to watch John Candy's Summer Rental. If you haven't seen that, it's one of John Candy's better films. I feel like
early,
probably like a top
one of his early films too.
Early films too, yeah. 78 maybe. Yeah. It was maybe 78 or 79. One of those. It probably came out around the time this film we're talking about today came out, but definitely a good John Candy film. It rained the week I was in Galveston, so I got to see quite a bit of movies. Watched Ghostbusters 1 and 2, both of them. Aliens, and I watched The Mask of Zorro. And of course, Suicide Squad. So that was my week.
Well, let's talk Suicide Squad, the new film from the DC Universe of films. I'm guessing they're still kind of a universe alive in some ways.
And we're going to talk spoilers. We're going to talk spoilers.
Yeah.
Too, so
yeah. James Gunn came in and directed this after getting fired from Marvel. he said, well, I'll take a DC job. And then, of course, he got rehired by Marvel and is fixing to start production on Guardians 3 now that Suicide Squad is out. But that's a long story for another time. So I stayed up late last night and watched this. It hit HBO Max about 6, but I didn't get to it till late. You know, obviously it's a kid movie. You can't watch in front of the kids. It's ultraviolet, lots of language. It's better than the David Ayer film from a few years ago. But I don't think it's better by much in some ways. I think it's got good action sequences in it. Gun could shoot action. But I think the dialogue, I'm starting to feel, man, maybe I'm in the minority on this, but I think Gunn is a one-trick pony, man. Let's tell a bunch of jokes with some music in the background. And I love Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it's great. Guardians 2 is okay, but this movie just felt like a thrown-in story with some action in it. It's good action, and the characters are good. I thoroughly enjoyed Idris Elba and all the characters in the film. But I just think that it tried a little too hard to be weird. And that's what bothered me. There's some things to me that don't translate well on screen, and Starro is one of them. I just thought it looked cheesy. And I know Longy texted me saying, oh, embrace your 70. I have no problem with old school film and stuff. And that stuff, I think, worked for that era because of the kind of special effects you have. But in this era, I thought Starro was stupid as hell. Maybe it's a little terrifying, but it just – a big pink and blue monster just was not – it looked – the CGI I thought was pretty bad in the movie in a lot of parts. King Shark was pretty bad looking. He looked better. I thought he looked better on the CW show. And that was some of my issues with it, some poor CGI. But I did enjoy the movie for the most part. I just didn't really like the last 15 minutes with Starro. I thought it was just too weird and bizarre. I thought that someone said the jokes didn't feel forced. Bullshit. Every joke felt forced in this movie, I felt like. And that was the thing, too. I never really laughed, except I thought Harley had some of the best lines, as always, because Margot Robbie is great in the role. And maybe it's just the way she knows how to deliver them. I did like Idris Elba in his role. He was pretty good. But I don't know. It was okay. It's not great. I can't believe people think this is the best of the DC films. It's not better than Wonder Woman. It's just not. It's just not a better film. And I'm not talking Nolan's Batman films. That's a whole different thing. I'm talking the current slate of DC films. This is kind of middle of the road for me. I don't know. That's just my initial thoughts.
Yeah. Matt, you go ahead.
Could have been better.
I guess I wasn't – I didn't go in with high expectations. And I didn't go in looking for technical stuff. I just wanted to watch the movie and say, hey – did I have fun watching it? And I felt like I was entertained. I will say that. Some of the stuff, to your point, Mark, the jokes, they weren't super funny. All the time I felt like, it did add to some of the comic relief to the film. It's not a movie that's going to have you killed over laughing. If you know James Gunn, he loves his action operas. And that's what he's been on the record that he likes. And, that's where the music comes from. I like the, Folsom Prison Blues that plays at the beginning. That was, a nice little touch, some Johnny Cash at the beginning. Maybe he tried to, plan scenes around the music too much. And maybe that's okay. Why it's a little choppy.
Right. I get that's his niche, but. And like a lot of directors have their niche, whether it's Michael Bay, John Woo, they all have these certain things, their slow motion, their swaying, the explosions of Bay, different things like that. But I guess with Gunn, my problem is you're making a film in a different cinematic universe, but did it not just feel like a Guardians of the Galaxy version, only more violent? That's my thing. It didn't, yeah. To me, it didn't differentiate enough to make it feel like it was in a different universe of films, It felt literally like a James Gunn film.
No, I don't agree with that. No, I mean, felt pretty gritty as far as ultraviolence is concerned.
But see, that's my thing, though. I didn't feel it was gritty because because of all the joking around it, the violence felt like laughable. You know, I didn't feel it was gritty enough, and that's what I think I was expecting. I was expecting a grittier, darker Suicide Squad, and I felt like the Ayer film was darker because this has so much stupid jokes in it and a dumb star villain that it made it almost laughable. You know, so it didn't feel gritty enough, and I was hoping it would be grittier.
So let's end the bashing part and talk about the stuff we actually enjoyed about the movie. Nathan Fillion's character, DKP, was that his name? So he has that detachable parts kid.
Detachable DPK. Part kid?
Yeah.
No. DPK.
Yeah.
D-D-D-K. What does that stand for?
Yeah. So he starts like, he covers his arms detach and they levitate and then they start like flailing at the guard.
He's like slapping
them. And I'm like, what kind of a superpower is that? And then
the weasel.
And then they shoot his arms. And then DKP is like, oh my God, I'm dying. And they're shooting just his arms, right? And yeah, I understand that, yeah, those were part of his body. But it's weird that it didn't hurt that they were detached from him, you know? So,
Pete Davidson's character was funny, that little part that he had.
Yeah, he was the rat. But the weasel, yeah, the weasel was kind of freaky looking at him. So
that was a weird looking weasel.
Yeah, that was a very weird looking weasel. But yeah, I was laughing so hard when DKP or whatever his name was, KDP, DKP, I don't know, DPK, I don't know. Which one was it, Matt? What was it again?
A detachable parts kit, yeah. So it was DPK.
DPK.
Yeah.
You're like, ah! I really... There's that scene where...
No, TDK. The detachable kit. That's all it was. No parts. It was just TDK.
Oh, TDK.
Yeah. The detachable kit. So, anyways. Well, Mark's doing noise control.
Yeah.
Anyways, that part where Peacemaker... And what was Idris Elba's name?
Bloodsport.
You got it right. You're right. It's blood. It's Bloodsport. They were debating about bullets. and then it's like Bloodsport's like, man, small bullets, man. It's more efficient. Gets it done. And then. Peacemaker's like, yeah, but you got to have some pizzazz, some of that that coolness to it, you know.
Oh yeah.
and then he was demonstrating it. He shot the bullet, and then Bloodsport's like, he's right. He's
like, yeah, that's probably the only joke I liked in the movie. I did like that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. The action scenes were really good. I really like Harley's breakout scene.
That was good.
It was good, but it wasn't as good as her police station fight in Birds of Prey.
Oh, in Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
That was a good fight
scene. Yeah, it was a very well done. But this one was really well done, too. And I like the way the action is shot. There's no shaky cam. Not like G.I. Joe, where they have to shake the picture to try to fool you that the actor can't.
Oh, yeah, fight,
you know,
gun shoots good action for sure.
Oh yeah, very good action.
I mean, like I said, I didn't want to come across like I hated the movie because I did enjoy it. I was, like Matt said, I was entertained by it. There's just some things that I just felt like things could have been a little better. You know, I felt some of the jokes were forced. I was hoping for a little bit grittier. And then I just think in the large universe of DC characters, they could have used something that translated a little better to screen than Starro. That's just
me. I really like. Hey, the bashing stuff. We're done. We already heard it.
yeah. Starro, not a big fan.
This is the positive part we're talking about.
Patrick Starr, better.
Right. Well,
Mark liked it when it was the giant mom.
I felt that scene.
I hated that stuff even more.
What scene?
Don't give me
the giant mom.
I didn't like Polka Dot Man's character at all.
The giant.
You could have taken him out of the movie, and I don't think the movie would have missed a beat. You know, I think Polka Dot Man was completely pointless in the film.
I don't know. I liked his powers, actually.
Well, yeah. And then
it's kind of disgusting, the whole
bizarre scene where the van driver's following him everywhere and he dies, it like just sort of came out of nowhere. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Milton.
That was a very forced joke. That was just like, what?
Yeah. You guys interrupted my train of thought because you want to keep bashing it. There was a scene where, what was I talking about?
Peacemaker. You ended up with the Peacemaker. I really felt sad
when Flag died, though. I mean, yeah, Flag's character was a big improvement over the first movie, for sure. I really like Flag's character in this one. Amanda Waller was very intense. This is the train of thought I was trying to get to.
Well,
and
going back to Flag.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me go circle back to what I was talking about Amanda Waller. There's that scene where she was about to kill all of them because they're disobeying her, but they're trying to stop Starro. And it was, I thought that scene was pretty intense until one of her underlings hit her with a freaking golf club to keep her from killing the squad, the task force.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that scene was really well done. But Flag, what were you saying about Flag?
Well, I mean, one thing I felt about Joel Kinnaman as an actor, like I felt like in the Iyer film, they wanted him to be like this badass grunt. But if you've seen him in other stuff, like in Altered Carbon or other films, the television show that he did on FX or something, he's actually much better than he was in the first Suicide Squad. And I felt like James Gunn knew that, and he let Joel Kinnaman do a little more with the character this time, and it was much, much improved version of the character.
Yeah.
Because Gunn knew Kinnaman could act and not just be a grunt, you know? So I definitely like this version of Flag better than the other film.
Yeah, I actually like Ratcatcher too. I like her character in this. It's likable. It's like a millennial, always sleepy, and Matt could probably relate, right, Matt?
Which character?
Ratcatcher 2.
Ratcatcher 2.
You weren't listening.
You're talking about
you weren't listening. Anyways,
the girl.
No, I was talking about Millennial being very sleepy and all, and you can relate, Matt, right? Being sleepy all the time.
I guess. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, her character was okay.
And I loved the Starro thing, too. I loved it. It was great. Very good kaiju.
Oh, got a freaking kaiju!
I think James Gunn's first kaiju action was very well done by kaiju movie standards. Considering it's a starfish, but then the experimental room scene that kind of shows you all of the horrific effects of having one of those starfish on your faces, but they tear at the flesh and stuff. It's like, that's pretty disturbing.
That was creepy, man, and almost felt like I was watching a little bit of a horror film whenever I saw that part.
Yeah. King Shark from the Harley Quinn show, I think is a little bit better than this King Shark in the Suicide Squad. I mean, it's pretty amusing. Pretty amusing.
Well, he simply played for laughs in this.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone. So there's really nothing to his character, I mean, other than a few laughs. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
I didn't realize my 3-year-old made it into the room when I was watching that scene toward where he was eating the militia, and he goes, "Shark eat head."
Oh yeah!
Like, where did you come from? Are you watching this?
Yeah.
I'm like, Jackie's like, "Oh my god, Matthew, you can't have him watch this movie."
But
I'm sorry.
Yeah, like I said, I watched it, was entertained. I didn't love it. It was okay. I don't think it's among the top 2 or 3 of the DC films. I don't know, man. I think Wonder Woman's better. I think even Man of Steel's better. You know.
Yeah.
Aquaman might even be better. You know.
You can't beat the octopus really? On the drums. Come on, you can.
Yeah, I think this is kind of middle of the road, like Batman versus Superman. It's kind of in the middle on it.
No, for me personally, I'd do it above average. It's a very well made movie. Yeah.
But I don't think it's as good as Guns, Guardians of the Galaxy. It's not as good as that movie.
No.
No. Yeah. No, that's going to be hard to replicate.
No.
Yeah. But it's on HBO Max right now and in theaters. So.
Someone crying watch in the back.
It's one of Matt's kids. It is.
Jackie's trying to put him to sleep.
Oh, okay.
It is nice to watch some of these new movies at home, though. That'll probably all go away starting next year. Yeah, but for now, it's nice to have.
Sorry.
Oh, shit. I accidentally muted Matt.
Oh.
I don't have my phone.
Oh. Just, anyways.
And I can't. There. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
I hit the button on accident. So, anyway, let's get into today's feature film, then. From 1979, 3 years after the original came out. The original won Best Picture, of course. And we talked that show a couple of that movie a couple years ago back on the show. And so we thought we would. I picked this as my birthday pick because I really like this sequel. I think it's a great movie and it's a great watch. And that is Rocky II. And to summarize this, I mean, it basically picks up right where the first film left off. This is definitely a sequel that you kind of have to watch the first one to enjoy this one more. You can't watch it without seeing the first one because they give you a pretty good recap at the beginning. But it helps to have seen the first one, especially the establishment of the characters of Rocky and Adrian and her brother and Mick and some of the other characters of the film. And but essentially, it's about Rocky trying to live with his new fame and struggle with his still having some money issues and trying to work and keep his family together. And all the while, Apollo Creed is pissed off because the world doesn't believe he truly won the match and he wants a rematch with Rocky. So he does things to taunt Rocky and get him to come out and fight him again. That's what he does. They ultimately fight again. And this time with a different outcome than the first movie. And that's essentially the sequel to Rocky II. They use a formula that works in the first one, but somehow it works so well again. In some ways better. And I think better because the characters are so established at this point that you're ready to go on this further journey with them. Because first thing, you know, Stallone, you know, became an 80s action star, you know, did a lot of films like Cobra and things like that. But there is a time like when these Rocky films, man, Stallone can act too and he can direct. And man, he's really good in this film. Very comfortable in the role after the first film. And I think that's why I like Rocky II. I think it's the journey of Rocky and him finding out he's going to become a father, to making sure he's taking care of his family. Here's a guy who's not the smartest guy in the world. He knows how to fight. That's what he knows. He knows how to be streetwise, but yet he's got this honor to him. You know, he feels bad. He can't bring home money for the family and he wants to be there to provide for his child. And he loves Adrian with all his heart. You know, and he'll do anything for her. And I think that's what makes this movie work so well. So when you get to that fight at the end of the film, man, you're standing up cheering for Rocky throughout the fight. And Stallone doesn't get enough credit, too, for his direction as far as an action director because, man, the fight in part one and the fight in this one are really well shot. You feel like you're part of it. And that's my initial thoughts on Rocky II to start the conversation. And how do you guys feel about this sequel?
I love it. This is actually the first Rocky movie I've ever watched. I've never watched the first movie.
You've seen it since though, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I watched this movie in reverse order. I watched Rocky II first. And then when I watched the first Rocky movie, finally, I was like, what? He lost? He didn't win?
Right.
It's like this. So yeah, it was kind of weird. But, yeah, I watched it out of sequence. But, yeah, I mean, I love the boxing sequence. And even as a kid, I was just captivated by the story. And I was only like 8 or 10 years old around mm-hmm. that. You know, I was 8 years old when I first saw Rocky II. So, yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, that's my introduction to Rocky.
Yeah.
And then, Matt.
Yeah. I think I saw this film like third. I saw fourth first, and then I saw the first one, and then I was like, okay, let's watch the second. And, it's a great sequel, you know, in a time when sequels, usually weren't good. Usually they were a money grab. And this one was a money grab in a good way. You know, it had a $7 million budget, made about $6.8 million its opening weekend, made its money back on the first weekend, then went on to make $85 million gross. Very successful film. Like Mark said, you feel like you're in the ring the whole time. It's got a, you know, sappy kind of love story going on, but it works. You know, you do want to see a more humane side of Rocky. And this movie shows it. I don't like the commercial part because I hate it when they make Rocky, you know, just seem like a dumbhead, you know, just
but there's a purpose to it though.
There's a purpose to it, but I'm like, man, you know, because I feel like, you know, Rocky's awesome. And I was like, you know, I maybe that's the part of you where you feel like you're in it. You're like, man, these people are, you know, shut up, you know, they're treating Rocky this way. You know, maybe it's more so of that.
Leave Rocky alone.
Yeah, leave him alone, man. He's awesome. He's got heart. He's got the eye of the tiger, and he's got an honest gal at home, you know, and Rocky Jr. I like how he's just kind of like, you know, so unsure. And she's like, Polly's like, yeah, you know, Polly's a good name. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, sounds like a good name. and then Adrian's like, how about after his father? And he's like, you know, and then he shows a lot of charm throughout the movie, you know, in the zoo, whenever he proposes. I mean, he proposes like only Rocky could propose,
right.
You know, you don't mind marrying me too much, you know? And then he tries to invite the tiger to the wedding. Hey, yo, tiger. but yeah, man, the end of the film's just, I guess I thought that they punched each other out, but it's Rocky, you know, hitting Apollo so hard. And he's just so exhausted, and, you know, he falls because the punch is thrown so hard,
right?
And they, you know, that's why they're slipping around on the ground and stuff. But it's a great film. I mean, it's, you know, not much better, you know, not much more better overall, and a hell of a nail biter at the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you went back saying, like, you know, it was a time of sequels. Weren't very good. This movie was kind of credited with a turn for sequels. You know, where this came out, then Superman 2 came out, and Empire Strikes Back, and Rocky 2 was the first of that bunch that started changing the tide on how people viewed sequels, and rightfully so. And you go back to Stallone or Rocky, like asking he to marry the only way he could. And I think that's what's so good about Rocky too, is just watching the relationship of Rocky and Adrian grow. And Talia, how do you say her name? Talia Shire.
Yeah.
She's so good, man. She plays she doesn't play the role like outlandishly or anything. She plays just like a regular girl. It's almost like she's being herself, acting but not acting, but it works for Rocky's machoism and his level of the way he is with her. And I think it's what makes it so great. Like, you really feel bad for Rocky when she's in the hospital. He's kind of lost. He doesn't know what to do. You know, but he also, he's trying to respect her to not fight again, but he realizes like, you know, this is what I do. I've got to. And he goes back and he starts working for Mick at the gym, and he wants to be around it. And he's willing to swallow his pride just to be around boxing because he loves it so much. And as much as he doesn't want to ask Adrian to fight again, he does, because he knows that's his best thing. And I think if she had really told him no, he probably would have said, okay, and he wouldn't have done it. And that's how much he loved her. But she ultimately, you know, kind of, I don't know if she gave her his blessing, but she said, you know, it's really what you want to do, you know, because Rocky, you know, he was a very prideful person too. And you got Apollo, you know, it's funny watching these old movies too, where they really paint Apollo Creed out to be this really kind of horrible bad guy. You know, he's calling Rocky a chump and he's mad the whole time and he's angry at his crew. And we don't really find out that Apollo's kind of a nicer guy to what in part three, when they kind of develop a friendship, you know, and he helps train him to fight, yeah, you know, Clubber Lang and all that. And but for the first two films, Apollo Creed is kind of like just this kind of asshole, you know, that just wants to pummel Rocky. I really like the scene where they have the press conference and Rocky's like, "Oh, well, I think he's kind of bad." he's got a lot of anger issues.
I like Rocky press conferences, man.
Yes, he's so nonchalant, and Apollo's over there yelling at him. He's all like, "Why do you gotta yell at me, man? We're just talking."
Yeah.
Yeah, like there was one, I forget which movie it is, but I think it's one, and he's like, "Oh, I'm good. What do you think's going to happen? I'm the champ, but I'm going to win." And they're like, "What do you think about that, Rocky?" "Well, no, he's pretty good and he might win." You know, and it's like just like, you know, "Well, maybe you're right, you know. He don't take it personally."
Exactly. He just goes and does his thing. And then there's Burgess Meredith, who plays, you know, his trainer Mick, and man, he's so good in this role. He just, he gives every scene 100%, but he's also, you know, as tough as he is on Rocky, it's tough love, because he knows Rocky could be the best, but he's also right there by Rocky's side at the birth of his child. When Adrian's in the hospital, you know, Mick is like that father that he didn't have in a lot of ways. And I love him in this role, you know, and it's one of his great roles that he's remembered for, you know, and he's such a good actor. He's been, you know, was around a long time, of course, played the Penguin. But I think he's, a lot of people remember him as Mick though.
Yeah.
Or in Grumpy Old Men, which, you know, he just goes to say he plays a really good, gritty old man.
Well, speaking of grumpy, how about the brother-in-law, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Bradley was resentful.
Yes.
Ollie, yeah. 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 Wasn't there a scene in the first movie where Polly was, like, groping at her or something? Groping at his sister?
Yeah, he gets really like, mad at her in the first movie.
Yeah. Da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah, like,
yeah, he goes to the pet shop in the first movie and basically yells at her, and yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Polly is probably one of the not as well-written characters in the saga. You know, at times, it's like he's there to be the... Like, Mick was the conscious to Rocky, and the brother, I think, is supposed to be kind of the conscious to Adrian, but sometimes the writing with him was a little off. I agree with that, you know. But by the time he gets around the third one, was it the fourth, third one when he had the robot or whatever? No, that was the fourth one. Yeah. It was bizarre where he had like the robot he bought and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, they try to make Polly a little more comedic as the series went along, you know, and played him for more laughs than they did the seriousness of him. But Polly is also their help. Polly also had a good heart too. He's always looking out for his sister. He wanted what's best for her. And that's why he tried to help Rocky find a job and everything. So it wasn't all bad with Paulie, even though he had some issues yelling at his sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess he just needs a friend there. And I guess Paulie's it.
Yeah. But, you know, this movie though is it's a great sequel. It's all build up to the excellent fight at the end where we finally get the rematch between Apollo and Rocky. And, you know, it starts out with some humor where Rocky's going to the ring and like, "Look at this really nice robe y'all got me." And Mick's like, "Yeah, it's nice. I'll just go out there and win." And Rocky's like, "Yeah, but I really like this robe." And that's all he's thinking about. It's like Matt says, even this press conference, Rocky just looks at the simple things in life and he doesn't take anything too seriously except for fighting and his family. That's what he takes seriously the most. And he goes out there in an excellently shot fight sequence and he wins this time, unlike the first one. And it's such a great ending to the film where, you know, Adrian had to stay at home because she had just gotten out of the hospital with the baby and all that. And, you know, he hollers to her, you know, "Yo, Adrian, we did it." You know, it's amazing. And he raises the belt and she shouts to the TV that she loves him. And, you know, it's a real emotional ending, man. But it's one of the great sport endings of all time in a sports movie. I mean, you kind of find yourself kind of clapping along with the film. And I've seen this movie so many times, and the ending every time, it's like, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's your ultimately, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's I mean, the fight, you know, you feel, you know, Apollo owns Rocky the first 10 rounds, and then Rocky, you know, starts getting in there. The body shots start working, and
he's resilient.
You know, ultimately he wears Apollo out. And, you know, like Rocky said, you know, in the later films, he felt like Apollo was the better fighter, but, you know, what beat Apollo, Rocky later says, is time. That he felt like Apollo was the best, and that he caught him on a downward slope. Maybe that was to honor the legacy of the, you know, of Apollo and the Creed movies. But yeah, it's something. There's something to say, because it's, I know it's a movie and it's just, you know, depiction, but it's like, man, Apollo's got, he had some reach on Rocky, man. Rocky had to take some hits before he got in close all the time.
Yeah. But man, it's just a good sequel. One of my favorite movies in this genre, and just probably my favorite Rocky movie too. And but if I was to rank this, I'd give it easily an A. I think it's an A+. If I was ranking the Rocky films, I think this is the best of the saga. I like it better than one.
Yeah. Well, we heap praise on it. Here's some stuff that I don't like about it.
You said no more negativity, man.
No, that was for Suicide Squad. That was
for Suicide Squad.
Like, geez, okay. No, I'm joking. No, the only, I mean, it's really, really minor. I mean, it's just the first Rocky set the formula, and really all this movie did was just did it better. Did the first formula, but better. And with a better budget too, it didn't win an Oscar like the first movie did. That's my only negative against it. That's it.
Yeah, it's a formula that works. So it's like, why change it? You know?
Yeah. I give it an A.
Well, they thought that with 5 too, but we all saw how 5 turned out.
I don't even remember that movie.
It's an A+. Well, Rocky 5, they felt like.
Well, I don't want the explanation. I could look that up on my own. I'm just saying it's forgettable, you know.
My biggest thing about this too is like the Rocky films. It's like people always say, "Oh, I like Rocky IV," but like Rocky IV is okay, but it's not as good as the first two films.
Yeah,
I'd argue that even 3 is better than 4.
Yeah,
and 3 starts out really messy, but it gets really good about halfway through. Like the last half of Rocky III is great. It's just the first half's a little clunky, you know. But A+ for you too, Matt. What'd you rank it long?
I give it I give it an A. I actually liked the first Rocky more, you know. But I really liked that second movie. It introduced me to the Rocky film franchise. I'm part of the camp that actually liked the first Rocky a little bit more. So,
yeah. Well, that's I guess it gets us to our top 5 for the week then. You know, it'd be too easy to rank the Rocky movie, so we didn't do that.
Oh, you should have given us a layup this week.
But but we're doing top 5 sports movie endings, and there's a lot of great ones out there. And I guess I'll have I started it lately? I guess
no, I'll you'll start. Start I'll start first. Oh. I'll start first.
Okay. Okay.
Let's see. Let me get my notes here. I was surprised I was able to work on this list despite how busy I was at work. My number 5 favorite ending, it has to go with Major League. I just love how
Wild Thing
Vaughn got his mojo back and won the game for the Cleveland Guardians. I mean Indians. So that's my number 5. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, like I mentioned, whenever we did our download this, One of my favorite sports endings is over the top, man. It's over the top, baby. He wins his son. He shoves that grandpa and his bullshit off to the side. And guess what? It started.
We've already spent 30 seconds too long at over the top.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on.
No one likes that movie but you, Matt. No one.
I like it. Let's actually be fair.
Yeah.
Don't humor him along.
It could be a future movie.
I watched that when I was a kid. I was dumber than.
I have three honorable mentions, real quick.
Dang, three?
Yeah, no. the original Rocky.
I've got
the original
a four-way tie.
Rudy, which is, of course, I think it's too easy to pick, and I like the movie, but I don't think it's that great. And then I have with a movie we covered just a few months ago, Warrior, as one of my other honorable mentions, which had a great ending too, with the two brothers fighting. But at number five, I have a movie that I can't. We may have to do this movie in December with the season two hitting or season four of Cobra Kai hitting. But The Karate Kid, man, at number five, such a great setup as Daniel's son gets his revenge on Johnny and beats him in the tournament, and you can't help but cheer and be excited. I mean, it's a great ending to a movie.
Well, my number four is the entire ending to the baseball scene and the Naked Gun. I thought that was what really well done. I'm joking. That's what.
That's not a sports movie.
I would have been with it for you, man.
Yeah. No, I actually put Rudy as my number four, and I like the ending. I just like how he finally got his chance. They've been building and building and building the whole movie, so the payoff was there.
I know that.
So,
and my biggest thing with the movie is, like him getting carried off the field and all that didn't happen in real life.
Yeah.
So it's like they really over-dramatize it.
I wouldn't know.
Like he got some high.
I would.
He got some high fives and pats on the back, but he didn't get carried off the field like in the movie.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yep, Samwise did it. Won it for the team.
Yeah. Number four, I've got Varsity Blues. Just them lining up with five receivers on the field. And they said they forced their coach out, and they're gonna leave it all on the field in their last 24 minutes of football. It's a fun movie. It's a backyard football moment. And it's probably the only movie James Vanderbeek amounts to anything in. Maybe the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. You know, maybe Mark likes him more in that movie. But
not really. No? No, I never really liked James Vanderbeek in anything. Dawson needs to stay on Dawson.
Dawson needs to stay on Dawson.
Number four, I have a movie that yeah, it's one of my favorite sports movies, and it's the ending of Friday Night Lights, which this is another movie they over-dramatized for the film because, you know, they end the movie where they just come short of a touchdown and winning the game. In the actual real life, they got the ball back and went three and out, and the game was over. It wasn't as dramatic, but it makes for a great moment in a film in Peter Berg's telling of the Odessa Permian Tigers. But Friday Night Lights at number four.
Nice. Good Texas story, too.
Number three for me is what?
Well, I was saying they just put the television series back on Netflix after like 3 or 4 years. It was one of Netflix's most popular shows, and they took it off, and Friday Night Lights has not been streaming for a while. And I never finished the last two seasons of that show, so I'm kind of tempted to go back and watch it because the show is as good as the movie, if not better. So just a little note there.
Yeah. My number three is Dodgeball. I like it. Sports movie, sports comedy movie. There's intense
training. Gag, Ben Stiller.
And
Vince Vaughn, though.
Vince Vaughn.
I've seen it. I can't stand Ben Stiller. That was a
I'll okay watch movie. It for Vince Vaughn.
Number three, Dodgeball.
Long, I also have a comedy long. I am joining you in the comedy sports film. And I've got Talladega Nights, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ricky Bobby racing Jean Girard. And then at the end, he's like, I'm just going to kiss you, you weird gay dude. And he's like, you taste of America, after they have a foot race to that 80s song.
Okay.
I'd never seen the movie.
We're going to do it one day.
You didn't miss anything. At number three, I have Field of Dreams. I mean,
there we go.
What a great ending. You know, he gets to play catch with his dad again. It's one of those movies that can make me cry almost every time I watch it. It's funny. I actually thought about that for this today's movie as a baseball season is in full swing, but went Rocky instead. But Field of Dreams, such a great ending.
Number two. You know, you didn't really talk about the sports aspect of Talladega Nights, by the way. You only talk about the jokes.
It's NASCAR.
You know? A couple of stupid NASCAR jokes that, like, out of context aren't even funny. But, yeah.
Yeah.
NASCAR's
the greatest racer that ever lived. Dale Earnhardt walked up to him in that movie.
Yeah.
NASCAR's just people turning forward left turns.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, my number two was Waterboy. Yes, sir.
Yes. Oh,
Can't beat the experience of watching a funny football.
Dude,
I love that movie.
Really?
Veruza Balk, baby.
I walked out of the theater on it. I literally walked out of the theater of that movie. I hated that movie.
I loved it. It was a funny movie. That's Happy Gilmore, dude.
No?
We will never do that movie on the show.
Not only would I do it for you, yes, I do it for you.
Kathy Bates is so funny in that.
Captain Latino, so it's no money.
But yeah, number two, Dodgeball.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Number two for me, Karate Kid. I mean, it's the ultimate, you know, kid gets bullied, kid learns how to stand up for himself. And then, you know, he proves himself right there in front of God and everybody and shows everybody you can't fuck with Danny LaRusso.
Was he really the bully? I mean, you know, Karate Kid, Cobra Kai says different. Johnny was misunderstood.
It's true. Johnny was just trying to get some tail, man. And LaRusso comes over there and just, you know, fucks everything up. So depends. You know, are you Team Cobra Kai or are you Team Miyagi Doof?
And number two, I've got the movie we did today, Rocky II. I think it's a great ending. That's all I got to say about it. Let's move to number one.
Number one, it's actually a serious movie, but I really liked Miracle. Everyone knows the ending to that film,
Kurt Russell.
But this sports movie had definitely one of the most intense training and grueling sequences that coach put that team through in order to win the Olympics and
beat the Russians.
Yep. And the ending, the final sequences, they basically played the game almost exactly as how it was played on, you know, during that sporting event. The actors actually had to mimic all the moves that each of the players were doing. So, yeah. Number one, Miracle.
So, my number one, Rocky IV. That's right. I said it. Rocky IV. You know why? Because he single-handedly ends the Cold War at the end of that film. Adrian says, I love him, but he saved lives at the end of that film. Landed over 90% of his power punches and ended the Cold War. It's unheard of. And he beat the Russian. Boom. Best ending in a Rocky movie ever.
That's great, man. Number one, Mark.
I have Miracle at number one also.
Oh, really?
A movie that I really love. It's strange being that we are in Texas and, you know, we watch a lot of baseball and football. Hockey's not popular down here, but yet this is such a great movie, you know, and to go back to what you said, yeah, you're right. They, you know, Kurt Russell studied hours of film to get the coaches mitt the way he acted. The actors had to learn the moves. This is one of the more truthful real life stories. About the only thing they changed is some of the character names are changed because some of the original skaters did not give permission to use their names, which I thought was strange because a lot of those Olympian athletes, sometimes, you know, they're not in it for the fame. You know, they did it for their country, and I guess they didn't want their names on screen. But such a great movie with a great, great ending. Yes, you know the outcome of the movie. But it doesn't change the excitement of the ending by any means because it's so exciting, the way it's shot and everything, and just a good film. So yeah, at least two of us are smart and think alike. Long.
Hey, well, we're all talking about beating Russia at number one.
Boom. I guess.
Insert, you know, manliest handshake meme here.
Well, let's talk some news before we get out of here. We got a few trailers. Did you guys watch the new trailer for Venom, Let There Be Carnage?
No. I had no
idea. I watched the trailer. I watched the trailer and, like, you know, it looks better than the first one. I think Woody Harrelson's going to make a great Cletus Cassidy. But I just, like, the CGI just looks kind of, like, I don't know, funky, even in the trailer. I'm hoping it looks better by the time the film comes out.
Didn't hear that last part. Your kids were really loud.
So Venom 2 trailer is out. We got a couple of Netflix announcements this week. We were just talking a little bit about Cobra Kai. Season 4 is going to hit this December. We got a little brief trailer for that. So we finally have a release date. And then Stranger Things Season 4. Looks like we're going to have to wait a little bit longer. The trailer just said 2022. That was it. So a little bit longer wait for Stranger Things Season 4. It feels like it's been, well, it's 2019 when Season 3 came out, so it is a long wait. Kids are going to be really old by the time we get.
Yeah. That last bit.
So.
Yeah. So Stranger Things.
Oh, I was saying.
A year from now? Yeah.
Yeah. 2022.
Yeah, and then this trailer hit yesterday. It's a long been in production adaption of Brian K. Vaughan's comic book Why the Last Man. It's went from different networks and now it's on going to be on FX and it's coming September 13th, like out of nowhere. They're releasing
I'm looking
it.
Forward to that.
I love the books. I read all 60 issues. The trailer looked interesting. I'm hoping it's as good as the book was. I'm also hoping it's good enough to get the full story told. You know, sometimes nowadays these shows don't make it past the first season. But it looks really good, though. I thought it looked really, really interesting. It looks like they're going to do some things. Like in the book starts off, if I remember correctly, all the men are already dead except for him. It looks like they're going to kind of do a little prequel with this and show all the men kind of get wiped out first. So they'll do it. You know, I guess I got to give some backstory.
Yeah,
because if I remember right too, in the comics they never really say what happens; they just kind of leave it open to interpretation. So that's cool though. We're getting another Lego Star Wars special, a Halloween one this time. Will be on Disney Plus called "Terrifying Tales," set in the Star Wars Lego universe. If you watched the holiday one last year, that was a lot of fun. So you know those Lego stuff's always a lot of fun for the kids and the family to watch, and that's gonna come out next year. And I wrote something else down, but I can't read what I wrote, so it doesn't matter. It wasn't that important as far as news goes. But that was all the news. You know, a few trailers and a couple of bits and bots here and there. Well, before we get out of here, let's preview next week's film, I guess. I know we long kind of chagrined at this, but we just did a Tom Cruise film a few weeks ago, but... It is. It's hard to believe it's been 25 years since the Mission Impossible franchise hit theaters. And now we have two more films on the way. So you're kind of somewhat filming them back to back. The original plan was to film 7 and 8 back to back. But now I think they just filmed 7. They're going to take like 6 months off and then film 8. You know, COVID caused some issues with that film back to back. But it's been a very successful franchise. And so we're going to talk the movie that started it all with the reboot. well, not even a reboot, just a movie version of the Mission Impossible television series. When Brian De Palma and Tom Cruise launched it in 1996 with the original Mission Impossible.
Good morning, Mr. Phelps. This is your mission, should you choose to accept it. Should you or any member of your IM force be caught or killed, the Secretary will disavow all knowledge of your actions. Ethan Hunt will be your point man, as usual. Good luck, Jim.
Simple game. Is he serious?
Always.
It's much worse than you think.
We're being ambushed. Abort, that's an order.
They knew we were coming.
Do you read me?
I don't care how he did it. I want to know why he did it.
You're worried about me. Why you survived?
I'm sure we can find something I have that you need.
No one sent me.
These guys are trained to be ghosts. Let's not waste time chasing after him. Just make him come to us. Find something that's personally important to him, and you squeeze.
Seen me very upset.
This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
It'll be fun to look back on that, man. It's probably out of all the movies in that series, I might be the least familiar with it because it's a little bit more spy espionage, not quite as much action in that first one, you know? And then John Woo came in and J.J. Abrams and now, of course, Christopher McQuarrie and Brad Bird, and they've upped the action in those films more. But the first one, if you remember right, guys, it was a little more, you know, cat and mouse espionage type film, not quite as much action. So be interesting to go look back on how this whole franchise started on next week's episode. Yeah. And that's it for this week's episode, though. Thank you guys for the happy birthday wishes, and thank you guys out there for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast, and go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs, as always. And stay safe. And until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This Long, the Italian Stallion.
Remember, as always, just go there and do it.